This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, you're with Lee Chui Lin and Sharmila Ganesan. Our next story is focused on politics, but not quite as we know it. I suppose it's politics as it could be, should be, because for much of 2020, the state of politics in our country was under the spotlight, and most of it revolved around constant shifts in political alliances, party or coalition hopping. This has resulted in, I think, just a deep lack of stability in our political system. And so to address that, Bersih 2.0 is renewing calls for a number of reforms, and that includes the revival of local elections.
Yes, and you know, this isn't a new call. There have been many parties talking about the need for local elections. It's not that we never had them. So we used to have local elections, which is also called the third vote, but this was suspended back in 1965. At that time, the reason given officially was that Malaysia was in a confrontation with Indonesia. But this has been come into dispute over the years. And since then, up all the way up till today, local government representatives such as the Yang di-Pertua, the mayor, or local councillors are basically just appointed by the state government.
And so what you see as a downside to this is that whichever party or coalition wins at the state level can then select all the local councillors within the state. And there have been repeated calls, like we keep saying, to reinstate local elections, primarily because of issues of accountability and transparency. And I think on that note about accountability, it's partly a sense of responsibility, right? The idea that when you are elected, when you are elected by the people, there's a certain relationship that is built that isn't quite there when you are appointed. And when it comes to the number of people who have brought it up, it isn't actually just NGOs and civil society organizations. It is actually from the government.
Yeah, so politicians themselves at various times have seen a need for these. So under the Pakatan Harapan government, for instance, there was talk of reviving these local elections. For instance, housing and local government minister Zuraida Kamarudin said that they were studying it seriously. But the PM at that time, Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, said that he felt this would lead to tensions between the races, it would also deepen the gap between urban and rural dwellers.
He's been pretty consistent on that point.
That's right.
The Penang state government has come forth to say that they are ready for it. They've been pushing for local elections to be revived. So coming back to why this is back in the news, Bersih 2.0 launched a report looking into the arguments for and against local elections, some of which we've laid out, albeit not in that much detail. So we'll be speaking after this with the author of the report, Danish Prakash Chako. But we ask you this every time, but I think it's important because this is an election that really intimately involves us. I mean, we've been talking also about how to engage in democracy in a meaningful way. And I think one of the main stumbling blocks is that we don't have local elections on this level, which, again, are really to do with issues that affect the man on the ground, right? So we want to know, do you want to see the return of local elections? Let us know why. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It is just about 7:14 and you are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking about local elections. Really, the Bersih 2.0 has just launched a report revisiting this issue. And I think it's important to talk about in light of the lack of political stability that we've seen in our country recently. And we want to know how this might impact the other. Would you like to see local elections, local council elections? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So we're crossing over now to Danish Prakash Chako, the author of, like we said earlier, that newly launched report by Bersih 2.0 called The Reintroduction of Local Government Elections in Malaysia. He is also a research analyst at Jeffrey Sachs Centre at Sunway University. Danish, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for providing me the privilege to speak on this matter.
So, first of all, make the case for us. Why is Bersih continuing to advocate for local government elections to be reinstated?
So, I just classify into two major categories and with five pointers in between. This is what I've raised during my presentation. first and foremost, we need to have accountability for this particular tier of government. Secondly, it's combating corruption. Corruption is very rife in local councils. Having democratic institutions, a democratic process such as election will reduce corruption. Urbanization and leadership. We are a very urbanized society. We need a tier of government that is responsive and accountable to crises. And this is actually quite general case, advocacy cases for the global. For the next two, is very specific for Malaysia. Introduction of local council elections should come together with decentralization and empowerment of the states with also local councils. That means shifting power from federal to state and local. And finally, empowering the true roles of members of parliament, MPs, and the state legislative assembly person, Dardoons, to free them to do the real job, to legislate laws.
So this isn't a new conversation. You know, there have been repeated calls for these elections to be reinstated. What do you think it would take to do this after more than five decades?
Okay. From the point of legal and constitutional hurdles, we need to tackle multiple laws in the country. We need to look into, for the case of Peninsula Malaysia, Local Government Act 1976. That is Section 15, because it says all prohibitions related to local government elections shall cease to have force of effect. So we have to repeal that. For the case of Sabah and Sarawak, we just need to insert the clauses for elections and modify some of the statements. That is the Sabah's Local Government Ordinance 1961 and Sarawak's Local Authorities Ordinance 1996. Similarly, for Kuala Lumpur, we need to amend the Federal Capital Act 1960. For Putrajaya, Perbandaran Putrajaya Act 1995 and Labuan Perbandaran Labuan Act 2001. So these are all the acts that I have researched required amendments so that the head of all the councils and also the associated councillors, the provisions for elections is inserted instead of using the word appointments. So if you ask me this is what it takes. And I want to be clear at this point, from referring to the past experience, what Penang and Selangor has done is that this amendment has to take place at the federal level. And interestingly, for Malaysia, particularly for Peninsula Malaysia, the Local Government Elections Act, for some reason, though, even though it's superseded by LGA 1976, it's still there. So we just need to modify that particular act to detail out the election system, who is eligible to vote and whatnot.
So we highlighted earlier, and the report also brings up the arguments against reintroducing local elections. Could you take us through them?
So in my report, we have three major concerns that has been raised by different ends of political parties or individuals. First and foremost is addressing the ethnic concerns. Some of our politicians still have outdated views that non-Malays would dominate local councils if there is local council elections. The reality has changed. We are an urbanized society. We have 76% plus of the population residing in urban area, of which 57% of the urban population are Bumiputra communities. Now, in my research, also I found out that majority of the city councils, municipal councils, district councils, they're all Malay majority. This is specifically an issue that appears in Peninsula Malaysia, not necessarily an issue for Sabah and Sarawak. And also, from that point, there's also a concern that if you do local council elections, there will be one political party will dominate the urban scene. That's not true, because at the local council elections, local issues take the center hold. So that means we have different groups competing. And urban voters, referring to MA research back in 2019, 20% of them already indicated they want to vote for independence. So, of course, they wouldn't necessarily carry out this exercise of voting for independence at the DUN at the federal level, but more likely they're able to do that in local council, subject to the electoral system. Also, the other fact is local issues take center hold. So there is this notion that one party will dominate all major councils is not true. It's just that you're going to have greater competition of ideas. This is the local contestation of ideas. Then the other concern, which I feel is legitimate and requires a more proper addressing, is the addressing the election costs. So our Minister of Housing and Local Government, during a parliamentary reply, stated that the cost of local council elections per council is RM 2 million. And then she also raised the question, do we have the money to finance this type of elections? I would say RM 2 million is an underestimated value. In my research, I stated that even before COVID, we take, for example, the Kajang Municipal Council. If they were to do a local government elections, we are looking at a price of RM 9 million. Because of the number of voters underneath. But how would you address this? Is actually looking at the cost exemptions and whatnot, which we can explain to you a bit later. But even we say this is an issue, I would say recent pollution and disruptions means that the cost of not doing an election is far outweighs the cost of doing an election. And finally, this is an argument that has been raised time to time. You have elected local councils, results in weak states. So some would argue we should have lesser functions for local councils. Because currently, local councils is under the domain of the state. State appoints the mayors and the councillors underneath. So the actual state, which has a very limited list of responsibilities, has this wide area of rule over local councils. So that is why the states also will be resistant to let them go, the local councils.
Now, in the report that you wrote, you argue in favour of decentralisation and empowerment of the states. What would this decentralisation look like? Could you give an example of how this could potentially translate into a specific area of governance?
One of the big issues that we need to eventually address is public transportation. In the Local Government Act, 1976, and also the other associated acts when I studied, public transportation as seen to create, manage, and maintain that sort of services is actually under the domain of local council. But at the same time, we also know who is actually issuing the licenses for the buses and even programming the bus routes is coming from Putrajaya. What I would argue is this power of public transportation should be decentralized to the states while the states share this responsibility with local councils. Because the state have a better view of what is going on in its territory, but the local councils know the innate stories of how people's movements from place A to B works. So public transportation dictates should not come from Putrajaya, but from respective state capitals and councils.
And would we see decentralization also change the role of ADUNs and MPs?
This is a good question. With the decentralization, to a certain degree, but mere decentralization without local council or local government elections will not necessarily change the role of the ADUNs and MPs. Because fundamentally, local council elections is to allow the voters to know the face of the councillor, to know the face of the mayor, and finally, to treat the councillor and the mayor as the go-to person for local issues. So, of course, decentralization must be done so that the council can do more better services and efficient responses to situation, but without elections, it may not change the role of the ADUNs and MPs, what you see right now in Malaysia.
Now, in terms of this reintroduction of local government elections, you highlighted in the report how this has worked out in other countries. Could you give us some examples?
Okay. Due to time constraint, I will explain one good example that will be South Africa. So South Africa has a long history of addressing the apartheid problem. The apartheid institutionalized from 1948 to 1994. So that means in those apartheid era, the municipalities was quite exclusive and they don't necessarily serve the non-white communities. So as time went, the crisis started to brew up and that's where the greater resistance against the apartheid took place in the 80s and is very much associated with the problems of the local councils. So when the time came, they started to do the transition from 1990 to 1994. One of the things they looked is to empower the local government and more importantly, having a proper election system for it. And they actually had three phases because we are talking about transitioning from a very racial segregated society to a non-racial society. So the very first phase is they created like local forums to negotiate appointments for the local councils. This occurred and this formed the temporary municipal governments leading up to 1995. Then the second phase is to actually implement municipal elections of 1995 to 1996, where a voter who is eligible to vote in South Africa or a person who pays assessment rates is able to vote. Okay? And they actually started to explore an electoral system that is parallel between proportional and geographical representation. Because in South Africa, historically, at the federal level, they used to have first-past-the-post system. In 1994's election onwards, at the federal level, they switched to proportional. But for the municipal level, they opted for a mixture between proportional and geographical representation. So even the 1995 elections also, they made some seats guaranteed for the white communities, around 30%. Okay, so this is the second phase. Now, the third phase is the proper introduction of full democratic elections. So what does this actually amount to? The whole country needs to be municipalized, means the whole country will be under some sort of municipal authorities. Then you have to create an election system that is mixed number proportional in this case, where half of the councillors are elected by a first-past-the-post system and proportional. And then they have to, there is a board that actually drawn up all the boundaries of the municipalities and the councillor wards, and they had to do it in a very short time. And then the election commission has to educate the public, you know, that the election system used at the municipal level is different to what you see at the federal level. And also they made the point that candidacy, especially for party lists, 50% must be women. Okay? So that's where from 1998 onwards they started the third phase, and finally they did the elections in 2000. At quite a fast speed. And since then, we have seen the number of political parties contesting under proportional representation jump from 79 in 2000 to 203 in 2016. And also, they yielded an equal gender split for candidate registration in 2016. And because they use mixed member proportional, it actually prevents an outright dominance of the major parties. That you always see a variety occurring in different councils.
Danish, we have some questions that have come our way. First of all, Kamal says, Penang ready for local council elections and Bursay is calling for it. But this is a bit ironic since PH was the government for almost 2 years. Why wasn't there an attempt during that time to try out local elections in selected municipalities? Shouldn't that have been Penang's advocacy?
I can't speak for Penang's point of view, because that push should have come from the state government, because Penang did push and even went to the courts just to find their way to implement elections. See, one of the problems with Pakatan Harapan is even in their manifesto, they were quite vague about actually introducing local council elections. And secondly, there wasn't enough push within the Ministry of Housing and Local Government to move fast. Of course, we can argue civil society should have done much or more, but they have been doing this work for many years, I think probably more than a decade on this issue. It's just the lack of will and also sometimes the outdated views of certain leaders in Pakatan Harapan at that time's government that actually created unnecessary stumbling blocks. Okay? Because even Pakatan Harapan had a plan, by July 2021, you will see a local government elections to take place. So if they had been serious and sped the whole thing up, this idea of a pilot project in selected city councils would have occurred. But because there are stumbling blocks within themselves, they didn't proceed fast.
Danish, we have very little time left, actually, just barely 30 seconds. But I wanted to know, how will you make use of these findings to push for the reinstatement of local government elections?
First of all, it will be a resource base to all advocacy groups and individuals to study. Secondly, it should be the basis for more work in future on how governments should read our report and examine how they can be implemented. We also want to see whether the government of the day can see the benefit of actually implementing. So, and hopefully this will spawn more advocacy work, and maybe one day it will be a general election issue, reinstatement of local government elections.
Danish, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
That was Danish Prakash Chacko, author of a report called The Reintroduction of Local Government Elections in Malaysia. He's also a research analyst at Jeffrey Sachs Centre at Sunway University. And now we have to head to the 7:30 news. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.